Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered! Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is, hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 11:04, back on The Fan. BT and Sal here. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. All right, we're going to get back to these Ranger calls in a second. Mitchell Robinson, he's out for the year. First of all, this poor guy can't catch a break, number one. Number two, and he implied this on social media, he's got to take out Embiid next season.
I didn't see that. What did he say?
I will seek revenge. That's what he wrote.
That was specific to Embiid?
Well, I mean,
why is this, does this happen?
Unless he has a beef with us.
Wait, but did...
Which is conceivable.
No, we've been nothing but positive.
That
to Mitch.
Is true. That is true.
But the injury didn't happen because of Embiid.
Well, remember when he? Well,
yeah,
true.
When he tried to pull him down, but he played several times after that.
Some people are now tracing it back to that, but he hasn't been the same since. Remember that? Hasn't been the same. It's a stress fracture, so he's done, and he might need surgery again. It's just he can't catch a break. Number one, so we know that he's out. All right, I got to tell you, when I saw this. And I was at Yankee Stadium. I'm like, I just got deflated. I'm like, man. Because in my own mind, as soon as I see it on my phone, I wasn't on my phone much all night except checking the Rangers scores. I'm like, or the Rangers score. I'm like, you know, me and Sal just spent 3 to 4 hours on the Knicks depth and this and that. And boom, one of the three guys who played barely at all right. In the last game, he's done. All right. It's actually... I hate to say it this way, but it's going to benefit the Knicks in this series.
Why? It's going to benefit them. Just because it forces Tibbs to go more to Achiuwa?
Well, yes, number one. That's directly, yeah, for sure. I don't think people realize, unless you know you were just dialed in nightly, and I was, but I don't know that everybody was, January 20th to March 18th, you know that he played at least 20 minutes or more every night.
He was terrific.
And he had nine games where he played 40 minutes, and during 40 And during the month of February, when he was absolutely awesome, he averaged 12.5 points, 11 rebounds, like almost 2 steals, a block and a half. Like, he played, and he's so much more athletic and quick twitch. And what Mitch does, and Mitch what he does great, you know, he can lean on Embiid. He's great for those little runs at the rim for two or three dunks a game. Offensive rebounder, awesome. Couple of inches taller than Precious Achiuwa, who's only 6'8". I got it. But I have news for you. You know, Mitchell Robinson try to chase around their big who can shoot, Miles Turner, all series, wouldn't have been good for the Knicks. Precious Achiuwa can.
Okay, here's my reaction to it initially when I saw it. Okay, like, it sucks, but it's not impactful because I don't think that they need him to beat the Pacers. We talked about this. I think that Achiuwa, you know, defensively could go on Siakam. Mitch doesn't work well in the series, all the things you just talked about. Like, he's not a perimeter defender. He's too big and slow. Pacers don't really have that guy like the Sixers had with Embiid. Miles Turner isn't that type of player. So as far as this series goes, I don't think they're going to miss him. And I don't think he could have been a difference maker in beating the Celtics anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it sucks. You'd rather have him. And I do think that their odds would have been better to beat Boston with a healthy Mitch. But I didn't think they were beating the Celtics either way. So really, it sucks. It certainly sucks for Mitch, but it's not as impactful on the Knicks season because, to me, they're going to beat the Pacers anyway, and they weren't going to beat the Celtics either way.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, really every player on the roster, as good as Mitch is at what he's good at, he's probably more deficient at things than any other player on the Knicks. He's a horrendous free throw shooter.
Right.
Can't put it on the floor at all.
He's getting no offensive game.
Yeah, even Hartenstein could put it on, you know, four, five dribbles, keep it moving, dribble handoffs, kind of reroute the ball. Mitch is not as good, is not as adept as Isaiah Hartenstein is with that.
He's a great rim protector.
That's, you know, and catches two or three lobs a game.
Now, well, and the rebounding is going to, you know.
Oh, his rebounding is insane. Yeah. But the problem is this, Sal. The only potential problem, you know, Hartenstein, and I think he played 37 minutes the other night, if I had that right. 36 maybe, whatever it was. I think it was 36.
36, yeah.
All right. I'm okay with him playing 36, but what if he gets fouled? You know, what if he gets in foul trouble?
Oh,
you know, that's
it's going to be a chew.
Who else are you going to? Jericho Sims?
Yeah, I mean, you might have to see a little more. There is nobody else.
I know.
It's going to be a Chua, and then behind him, it's going to be Jericho Sims. I don't think that everybody's making such a big deal about this Knicks bench needs to get involved. Who do you want to see from that bench?
Well, really outside of Achiuwa, which is what I was clamoring for. No, at this point, nobody.
So all you want to see is more minutes from Achiuwa. There is nobody else. And now it's going to have to be potentially Jericho Sims in just a little. You know, Jericho Sims might have to spell Achiuwa a little bit or Hartenstein a little bit. But
I think it would be more Hartenstein.
Yeah, okay, well, but that's it.
Yeah, but Dibs has to trust him to play 5-6 minutes.
Or why wouldn't then just Achiuwa take over Mitch's minutes? I mean, Mitch played 12 minutes.
Yeah, but he played 12 minutes because he was physically limited.
Yeah, okay.
Like, he was already back. Right, he was jacked up.
But point is, so Achiuwa's going to play 20 minutes a game, let's say now.
I would think so,
okay.
Yeah.
But now your bench is going to be even shorter where they're going to go with seven guys. It's going to be Achiuwa and McBride.
Well, they basically went with seven the other night because Achiuwa only played four minutes.
Yeah, right, okay.
So I would think that the only fear that I have, it's not even about Mitch, even though this is how we started talking about with his injury, and Hartenstein, we branched out to him. To me, it's more about Tom Thibodeau better get out of the beginning of this possible aversion to allowing Miles McBride to play through issues. I mean,
so you just
he's got to play.
Just so we're clear, you want to see McBride play more minutes.
I want to see McBride play 20 minutes tonight.
Right, but who then is he? Who's coming
off
the floor?
Well, Jalen Brunson's got to sit for four minutes ahead. And, you know, that's seven, that's nine right there. And Dante's got to see. You know, Dante's not going to have 25 every night.
Right, so
so when he's a little bit off, that's where the minutes open up for Miles McBride.
Right, but the idea of taking Hart or Brunson off the floor or Anunoby, how's that going to help the Knicks?
Well, but you're reacting to McBride having a horrendous game the other night. Miles McBride's been so important this whole season.
Right, but I'm fine with McBride spelling DiVincenzo, who I agree is not going to go for 25 a night.
All right.
But Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, without them on the floor, the Knicks are dead.
Yeah, but you have to be able, Sal, I don't even really disagree, but you have to be able to trust your backup point guard to steal 3-4 minutes ahead. I'm not saying that suddenly Miles is going to, you know, log in 35 minutes.
And I'm not 11 minutes.
You know, I'm not looking to shave DiVincenzo down to, say, 29 or 30 minutes. Dante DiVincenzo is going to have to play north of 35, but he doesn't have to play 42.
Right, and what about Hart?
Josh Hart, he's a pit bull. He can play 48.
All right, and what about Brunson?
I think the wheelhouse for Jalen, because I do notice. Remember,
he's scoring 40 a night. He's still playing 44 minutes, you know, whatever. 44 minutes.
I know, but up until the other night when he iced all of his free throws and put 21 in the fourth quarter, the only time in the first two games against Philly where he didn't play well the whole game, his malfunctions came late. And I can't prove this, but I believe with Jalen Brunson, who's less physically imposed. Look at Dante DiVincenzo's body.
Yeah.
Look at Hart's body. Look at everybody. Like, even Miles McBride. Look at his shoulders. Like, Jalen Brunson is an incredibly, like, cardiovascularly, he can run all night. But he's not physically imposing. And I think he's tired at the end of these games.
Yeah.
And that's why he's made some mistakes he never makes.
I don't think this is a Tibbs thing. I think it's a lack of depth thing. The Knicks don't have anybody, so their best chance is to roll with Hart, with Brunson, for the majority of the game.
877-337-6666. BT and Sound on the Fan. Now we juggle the Knicks and the Rangers. Josh up in Poughkeepsie. What's happening, Josh?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I heard you guys talking about the Mitch suite, and that definitely was at Embiid, because it wasn't when he pulled him down. It was actually about 2 or 3 minutes later in that same game. They went for a loose ball. Mitch fell on the ground, and Embiid purposely fell right on his ankle that was hurt, and that was when he got hurt.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since then. Yeah.
No, not since then at all.
Yeah, and
he's been gutting it out. I feel bad for him. He's been gutting it out. But
yeah. And you know, I mean, Josh, and thanks for the call. Yeah, he's a fighter, man. Even just getting back to be able to play this season, that was a fairly invasive surgery. I remember when he got hurt.
I thought he was done for the year when that first happened.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I thought was, here we go again. You know, big-bodied Mitch. He's got the great spirit, always hurt. But then it always, like, Mitch is a hard guy for me to, I can't put him in a box because I think he's really overachieved. You know, he was barely drafted. Knicks took a flyer. He's rewarded them. He's got a good contract, and good for him. He's earned it, but he's always hurt. He's great at certain things. He's horrendous at certain things. You know, just when you think he's done for the season with the injury, he comes back because he's a team guy. I don't know. I mean, maybe the other thing that develops here, Sal, the next, you know, week or, pardon me, a couple of weeks or months, if Jericho Sims gets more minutes, and he might have to, maybe more next series if they get there, and he plays well, maybe it's a revelation to the point where they're like, all right, we're going to roll with Hartenstein, re-sign him, and Jericho Sims, we're going to trade Mitch.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the Knicks are going to have major decisions to make this offseason, and to me it's unfortunate that we're not looking at a full Knicks roster. I know you don't, you know, you like them better without Randall. I would love to see Randall. I'd love to see Bogdanovich. They all add up. Like, you could say, all right, Bogdanovich, not that big of a deal. But when you start to add them on top of Randall and now Mitch, you know, they're losing all their depth.
I know.
And that's a reason why you're seeing some of these guys play 48 minutes, play 44 minutes, and maybe that's a reason why they're tired down the stretch, but they don't have anybody else. So I wish they were whole here. I would have liked to have seen a fully whole, healthy Knicks team taking a run at the Celtics.
Me too, and yet here we are. They have a chance to go up 2-0 in our house tonight and in the semis. So even with all the injuries. Andrew's in Shirley with BT and Sal. Andrew, hello.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yep.
Listen, I get it, you know, especially in typically or conceptually in NBA, playing a ton of minutes ends up, you know, making a big impact later in games where you start to see people, guys get fatigued. But until it becomes a problem, I'm almost, this is me personally, I'm done hearing about it because maybe you see it a little bit, a tiny bit at the end of the game, but I'm really not noticing anybody super gassed. And when you ask these players, on the Knicks, I mean, they're perfectly okay given the full throttle, all gas, no breaks that they've been doing for the last couple months now. You know, every single game, it seems like we're finding out, oh, this guy played 48 minutes, this guy played 50 minutes, this guy played 42, and it hasn't been a problem. I think we just have to understand that this Knicks team is just a little bit different in many ways, and the only way we're going to win games is with all our best players on the court for as long as possible, and until it's a real problem, I don't think we should even consider it being a problem.
I mean, it's an interesting take. I mean, there's no other options, so I guess you have to ride these guys down. I guess, and maybe this is my fault, or maybe I'm risking tripping over the future. You know, I'm looking forward. I understand that. Yeah, I still think they're in good shape for the Pacers series. I picked them to win. I don't love the way they played game one. I mean, they better shut down McConnell tonight. They better rebound better. They better protect the ball better. I don't want to see 14 turnovers again. There's things that they must correct, and I think that they will. I still think they'll win the series, though. But I don't know how you beat a team like the Celtics when you have five guys playing 43 minutes. I've never seen that in my life.
It would have been hard to beat the Celtics as is with Randall, with Mitch, with Bogdanovich. It was not going to be easy to beat Boston. Now, with basically four guys, yeah, I mean, it's going to be an impossibility. That's the reality. Now, we don't have to focus on that. Let's worry about the Pacers tonight and enjoy it while we can.
Yeah.
Losing Mitch does not help getting past the Celtics, but without Randall, without Bogdanovich, even with those guys, they probably weren't beating Boston anyway.
Remember, also talking a lot about those Rangers with a wild win last night. Jeff is in Hamilton, New Jersey with BT and Sal. Jeff.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Okay, up, Jeff.
So I was 20 years old in 94. I was at the parade when the Rangers won this year. I'm getting nostalgic vibes from Knicks and Rangers. I agree with you that I would much rather see Boston than Florida, but I'm going to disagree, and I'm a huge Rangers fan and a huge hockey fan. I think the Colorado Avalanche are the creme de la creme. They are big. They are fast. They can score. They got an all-star on defense and McCarr. Mm-hmm. McKinnon's the top three player in the league. They are a formidable team. So I think they're the biggest challenge. Not taking anything away from Florida or Boston or even Carolina. These are good teams. I mean, any of these teams can win the Cup, but I really think that I hope I don't, you know, this isn't, what was it? Was it 2015 when they went to the last time they went to the finals? Is that 2015?
2014. 2013, 2014, okay, right? 2013, 2014.
Yeah, the 14 year. I mean, I hope it's not one of those where we, you know, we get to the finals again, run into a better team.
Yeah, but see, that's where I disagree with you, Jeff. I don't, like, then it was the Kings and their dynasty, led by Jonathan Quick. Like, there was, the Rangers unfortunately ran into a team that, if the Rangers played their best, they still couldn't beat on their best day.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that now, even with Colorado. And I'm not trying to minimize Colorado. Obviously, a great team. Sure, and you mentioned a couple of the key parts of that team. But I feel like if the Rangers played their best game, they could beat anybody. That's why I'm not really worried about the West right now.
Well, and by the way, think about this. What would you rather have? The you know, the perceived juggernaut out in the different conference, or a team that you got to play in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Rather than there.
Yeah, of
right.
course. I'll deal with you when I get there.
Right. Now, Florida's not going to be any picnic.
Yeah,
exactly. You assuming know. The Rangers finish the job here against Carolina, and there's a long way to go. I think that they will. I said the Rangers in five before the playoffs. I'm going to stick to it. But it's still a long way to go. Carolina's not going to be an easy out. None of these games have been easy. And then Florida or Boston, they're both going to be difficult. Hey, it's hard to win. Hard to win a Stanley Cup. Hard to win an NBA championship. Worry about the West when you need to.
Steve is in Brooklyn, BT and Sal. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, how you doing? Good morning, guys. So, you know, in basketball today, the guys, they can play 48 minutes, 46 minutes. They're not hustling like they used to play or how they used to. When you play basketball, when you're playing tough defense the whole game, you're chasing your man and you're chasing the ball in between you guys. So you're hustling all the time. There's no emphasis on hustling defense. Used to be, when you saw the great teams in the 70s, the 80s, even the 90s,
yeah,
the teams were the defensive teams. The Bulls played great defense. The Knicks played defense. The Celtics, the Rockets, they all played great defense. And they were all hustling. They needed guys to come in and rest and spell the starters for a few minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes a game. Now they're running down to the three-point line, throwing it up, getting it in and jogging back.
Steve, I think that's a little selective, and trust me, I was watching the 80s as well. Appreciate the call. I would actually say it's the exact opposite. Like, if I'm a defender on, say, the Lakers or the Celtics from the mid-80s. Now, Bird's obviously running off screens, of course. Byron Scott was quick. But, you knew where Magic, and I'm not saying he was easy to stop, but you knew where Magic was going to be. You knew that Worthy was trying to flush on the fast break. You knew he was trying to post up Kareem for the sky hook. You knew that Kevin McHale was trying to get within 7-8 feet of the rim for that little baby hook unstoppable. Now, so if you're playing defense on McHale, while it was hard to stop, the energy, the level of exertion to stop Kevin McHale was more physical than cardiovascular, because Kevin McHale wasn't running anywhere. No, he was in the paint, and he'd make sure he'd get both of those probably gigantic-sized 19 feet out of the paint before they blew the whistle for 3 seconds. Now, even a seventh man like Bogdanovich, who's not healthy, is running all over, running off screens and mismatches and pick and rolls and switches and going over, going under and cross matches. It is a totally different game. I think it's harder to play great defense now because you just have to, you're just moving more.
Yeah.
And they have data chips that they wear. I don't know the exact miles per hour. I think miles per game. I think it's like 6 or 7 miles on a high level. Some players run the whole game. There's no way that was happening back in the 80s.
You would think.
There's no way.
Right. You would think it's easier physically to defend a half court game.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about, like, as far as, you know, guys back then maybe bigger and stronger and more physical.
Yes.
Sure. But
yes,
we're talking about, you know, the cardio part of it.
Yeah.
Defending in half court where your guy's not moving all around. There wasn't the spacing and the passing that you see in today's game. It was get it down low to the big man, guard your guy around the perimeter. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not trying to make it easy or make it sound easy, but compared to now, you're flying all over the place, up and down the floor, left and right.
Think about how many times, you know, Patrick always creeps into the conversation. Now, Pat would set some high screens, obviously, to free up Derek Harper or, you know, I guess, although I don't really remember this, Mark Jackson before that and Doc Rivers and everybody else. But look at Mitch and look at Hartenstein, just as big men. Look at where they are. Now, they have very different skill sets than Pat, clearly, but think about where they are in relation to the basket. Like, how many times has Hartenstein or Mitch just hand the ball off as they set that little screen and then they slip away just to free up Jalen Brunson? They're 40 feet away from the rim. Then they got to run back to the rim. Then they got to set screens. You don't stop moving.
I will say, and the Knicks are the anomaly because they play hard every single night, regular season, postseason, whatever. But back then, guys played much harder, more consistently. Now, teams take off. Now, maybe it's because of the up-and-down nature, but they don't play defense until the postseason. And even then, they don't play it as hard as the guys used to.
Yankees win! The Yankees win!
When This happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, BT and Sal back on The Fan. It's 11:31. Everybody's feeling good. Yeah, you're a little tired. I get it. That's all right. It's a good tired. Hopefully we'll have that good tired tomorrow. Knicks start at 8. Rangers obviously playing overtimes, so you're dragging a little bit today, but you're not. You're actually moonwalking into work. How you like me now, boss? I'm doing nothing today because the Rangers won. Get lost. 877-337-6666. We got the crown coming up at noon. Top story. We got 3RQ. That's always fun. Three random questions coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's get back to you guys. Alan, New Hyde Park, as we do the Rangers-Knicks juggle. Al, what's going on, buddy? BT and Sal, how are you?
How you doing? Sal, my first time ever talking to you. BT, it's been a while since you were teaching. Sal, I'm in my 70s, so I've been watching these games and going to them since the late 50s. As far as on the Knicks side, I'm a huge Rangers fan, Sal, huge. On the Knicks side of the fence.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Listen, nobody likes injuries. I deal with the here and now. The Ochoa situation, I'm a pro Ochoa supporter for the way he plays and operates and the speed he brings to the table in the game. It's unfortunate about Robertson. Listen, it's unfortunate. Injuries do happen and you need backup players. I wasn't happy with Tibbs, the way he utilized Ochoa in the Philadelphia series, only playing him when Robertson got hurt in games 3 and 4 there, and not ever putting him on the floor in MSG. He did put Ochoa on the floor in the first game for about 3-4 minutes, and then he buried him. This is Ochoa's opportunity. I think he will fit in a lot better with the speed that Indiana brings.
Mm-hmm. Right, but it's different than the Sixers series, and I tend to agree. And we were talking about this yesterday, BT, and thank you for the call, Alan. We appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. I think Ochoa is a better matchup defensively on Siakam than Anunoby. Now, we'll see what Tibbs does, but Ochoa's going to play. I think we're making too much of a deal about Prince Chua. Like, come on, we're making him like, what are we doing here?
Well, we're reacting to what the hell's happening to the Knicks. I mean, listen.
Well, but we were saying this even before the Mitchell Robinson thing. Like, a Chua's going to be
not everybody was. Yeah, not everybody thinks. No, I happen to think it's a big deal. Boomer does. Boomer, but not everybody thinks it's a big deal. Listen, the guy could play. Precious Achiuwa can play basketball. Can I just forget about Precious Achiuwa for a moment and Mitch? I almost don't want to say it because I guess there's always more things that can go wrong. But, geez, can the basketball gods smile on these Knicks for health-wise for a minute? I mean, between Julius Randle, you know, even during the season, OG during the season, obviously, you know, Randle trying to come back, done, and now Mitchell Robinson and Bogdanovich. Geez. Yeah. Can we just try to get to the Eastern Conference Finals without you getting in the way? Health?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
I think the damage has been, you know, that is actually one thing. My first thought was, okay, well, they're not going to miss him for this series, but they will certainly, they're not going to beat the Celtics anyway, so it's really largely irrelevant. But it made me think back to the Randle stuff. Once Randle and Anunoby went down, my thought was, the season's already been ruined. It's been ruined now. It happens. It happens in sports. Unfortunately, the Knicks reached their apex with a healthy Brunson, Randle, and Anunoby after that trade. And they were playing like the best team in the NBA. We didn't get to see that through because Anunoby gets hurt, Randle gets hurt, Randle obviously never came back, and now they've had other injuries to follow that. But really, that was the end of having the no limit, no cap, no ceiling on the Knicks season.
I can't disagree with that. But I'll make a little prediction here, provided, you know, Tom Thibodeau plays him. I think he's going to, I'll give you some numbers here. I think Precious Achiuwa is going to average, he's going to play a lot. I think he's going to average 11 points and 7 rebounds the rest of the series.
That'd be huge.
I think he can do it.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if he could do it. But, I mean, you can't tell me. Now, in this series, you want to say that he's a better matchup in many regards than Mitch? Sure. But you can't tell me he's more impactful or better than Mitchell Robinson.
He's different. Yeah, right. No, he's very different. Impactful.
Or Hartenstein, for that matter. Who would you rather have out there? Like, if you go down the depth chart, whose minutes should Achiuwa be taking with a fully healthy team?
Well,
you're not taking away from Anunoby. We're not taking away from Hart or DiVincenzo.
I might say Mitchell Robinson.
Even against Philadelphia?
Well, I mean, it's going to be a little matchup specific. Granted, but I don't know. I mean, he could play. Paulie's in Seymour, Connecticut. What's up, Paul?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. You guys are great together and love listening to you. If you give me a couple minutes, I have a few
couple
comments.
Minutes, Paulie. Yeah.
Go ahead. Get to
Go ahead.
It.
Go ahead. I'm just kidding. Go ahead, dude.
Isn't it great? Knicks one night, Rangers the next night. I'm just not getting much sleep, but they're winning and they're relevant, and I love it, you know?
Yeah, and you're not even tired. You know, the Mets used... Go ahead.
I feel great. I mean, here we go again. Yeah. The thing about the players being tired, listen, they're young guys. They're in their 20s. I played ball. I never wanted to come off the court, never, whether I was tired or not. You know, that'll be for Tibbs to do that, you know, give him a little break. And Precious playing, I think it's going to help him. And don't forget, these guys get fouled at the end. This kid isn't a 49% free throw thrower
true,
either. You
true.
Know?
No, that's always been a big issue with Mitch. Is why, you know, usually got to get him off the court. Sometimes I didn't. Sometimes he actually stuck a few with Miami. It hurt him. Yeah, listen, I understand it's easy to say, yeah, you know, I want to play. And, yeah, of course. When I was a kid in the street, like, the worst time of night was when I'd hear my mom's voice calling me in. You know, once the ice cream truck, that was the best part after we played wiffle ball all day and tennis ball. But once the sun went down and you couldn't quite see the ball from the street lights and mom said, all right, time to come in, it sucked. But that's playing in the street. I mean, playing 43 minutes a night against the best athletes in the world, I just feel like people minimize the level of exertion. And I know that they've got hyperbaric chambers and they've got masseuses. And I don't know, I'm sure many of you know this, but you ever see those circular, like on athletes' bodies, like that it's called cupping to get blood flow. This is stimulation. Like, it's not 19.
I thought cupping was different.
Well, yeah, cough. It's not the 1970s where you basically have that little, you know, beige ace bandage that like Bob Lanier would wear, you know. I get it. Or non-supportive high tops. Understood, but it's still a lot harder than people think it is to regenerate. I don't care how young you are.
But to Tibbs' credit and the players, their performance has not dipped. You know, that's the issue to me, BT, is where if Josh Hart was struggling down the stretch, I'd be like, you know what? Somebody's got to give him a breather. He can't play 48
minutes.
Well,
let me ask you this.
He's getting better as the game goes on. The free throws are one thing. But
why did he miss when he misses a free throw?
I don't think he's a great free throw shooter. He knocks down big threes late in the game.
I know.
He's grabbing big rebounds. I know.
I love him. But when he misses free throws, that it seems to
be front rim or an air ball. Yeah, I know.
Why do you miss front rim? You got no legs.
No, or you're choking at the line. I mean,
you're
saying Brunson signed
down. I don't think he's a choker.
No, all right.
This guy's not afraid of anything.
I just don't think he's a great free throw shooter. But you're saying Brunson down the stretch is tired. He hits 14 of 14 the other night. Clutch free throws
he
at
did.
That.
But he also makes turnovers that you never see him make quarters one through three.
But is that just a bad play?
I don't know. It's coincidental if it's just a bad play.
Brunson had his best quarter in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And he lit it up. So, like, it can't just be tired, you know, because of one bad turnover, a couple bad turnovers, if he's scoring 20-plus points in the fourth quarter and knocking down all the big free throws.
Yeah.
Point is, until I see the drop in performance, then I would be concerned. I'm not going to be concerned about the minutes because there is no drop.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pissed up perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells, and the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All right, that time of the week, BT, every Wednesday at 11:40, we do a little 3RQ. We'll get back to the calls in a second. Number one, do you think Kevin Hart is funny?
Yeah. I haven't seen as much of his stuff lately. I think he's absolutely hysterical.
Did you see him during the Brady roast the other night?
I saw most of the clips. I read some stuff from him. I didn't see his clip.
Yeah, I mean, like, I respect him as a comedian. Obviously, it's what he does, and he's done it very well. I don't find him funny.
There was a point. You see, there's certain people, even their voice is funny. And he's got the voice. He's got, you know, again, I haven't seen his, like, last year or two, I don't know what he's really put out, but I'm going before, like, early Kevin Hart and mid Kevin Hart. Hysterical, dude. Like, his presence on stage and his mannerisms, I don't know if he's changed, but I thought he was drop-dead funny for a while.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe it's just too much Kevin Hart. I like him. I like some of his movies. I just have to see, Kevin Hart, you think he's funny?
I think that he has I think he's done. Like, I think he had his reign. It's one of those things where those comedians, like Chris Tucker, Chris Rock,
they become so big.
Yeah, but Chris Rock, I think,
is funny. I think he's been funny for a long time.
Yeah, but he disappeared for a while, too.
Kevin Hart's become like a character of himself. I mean, I like him.
I don't know. Maybe he has an act, too, like the Dice Man. Yeah. Comes back in about 20 years.
You know what hurt him? Himself.
Dice is funny. Kevin Hart.
You know what hurt Kevin Hart? Mm. Was him showing his true colors being wasted at that Philly Super Bowl.
I don't know. I think so
because people realize he's a Philly fan. I'm like, this guy's a jerk.
Maybe just he wasn't great at the roast, and it reminded me, like, hey, look, some people think Will Ferrell is very unfunny. Like,
I don't think Will Ferrell's funny
at all. There you go. Like, I feel like Mike hated him. Francesco, like, oh, Anchorman's the worst movie I've ever seen.
I don't think he's funny.
My father, my wife didn't like Will Ferrell. I love him. I think Will Ferrell's hilarious. Yeah. But
funnier than Adam Sandler? Will Ferrell, no, Adam Sandler movie. Which way are you going?
No, Sandler.
You gotta go Sandler.
Sandman's my guy. But,
gotta go.
But I know it's a different level of funny, and to each their own. Just for me, Kevin Hart, especially during the roast, I watched that whole thing, 3 hours.
Jeez. Yeah. When did you watch that?
All over the place. An hour here, an hour there. Yeah, this morning. Even driving in, like, I put it on to listen to it.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing a podcast with Jimmy Traina later. I know he wants to talk about that, so I had to make sure I watched the whole thing.
One thing on comedians, too, by the way, because the staying power, like the stylistic and stuff like that. Like, my favorite comedian is Norm Macdonald, but he's very particular.
Yeah, you like him or you don't.
His jokes are so dry.
So,
like,
dry.
Kevin Hart is to the masses, but he's kind of corny now.
Yeah, that's how I felt. All right, anyway, number two, and you're going to love these next two. This one specifically for you, BT. I thought about this weekend. When coaching a kid, do you accentuate the negatives or only positives?
Well, I think it's not going to be an entertaining answer, but it's the real answer. If you accentuate the negatives, you're just not doing a good job.
Well, do you bring up the negative?
100%.
Okay, so then how do you...
Well, I'll give you a couple things that are non-negotiable. Effort, attention span, and, you know, like, we have a rule. Now, not every kid does it every single time, but, you know, I say 9 of the 12 kids are doing it. The other 3 kids, you got to snap them in. Take a knee. Game's over. Coach is talking. Take a knee.
Right.
Don't be sitting there... on your behind, staring into space, eye contact, eyes up. Listen, I think you also have to adjust your coaching methods to the personality of the kid.
Maybe accentuate was the wrong word.
Okay.
Acknowledge.
Oh, absolutely.
You acknowledge the negative.
Yes, but I think that if you leave that as the lasting imprint, they have a chance to go in more of a hole. So I think it's now what age? I think it differs with age.
I'm going to give you the specific example.
Give me the exact age.
You know, Joey's 10. My nephew Joey 10. He had a hockey tournament this past weekend.
Yeah.
In New Jersey.
Yeah.
Went the whole thing. Right? Congratulations. Yeah, it was nice. And he played a really good game. Like I saw him, was the first time I've seen him in a while since I moved to Jersey. Played a really good game, but one of his last shifts was just it wasn't the effort that I know he's capable of.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came off, like they won a ho-hum game or whatever, and I was like, hey, good game, but that last shift was dog poo. Like, mm-hmm. No good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I accentuated the positives after that, but I wanted to make sure I let him know, like, I saw that last shift, and you're better than that.
Okay.
And then I was thinking, man, is that the right way? I don't know the right or wrong.
It's
I know
not the wrong way, because he trusts Uncle Sal, and he loves Uncle Sal. I would say that's more of almost like a parenting uncle thing more than a coaching thing. Because I think when you get in the car and with your child, you know, sometimes as other kids, you drop them off, and then maybe you have much more of a detailed, in-depth, good and bad conversation with your son or daughter about the game. And you got to level with them. And now, If your son's in a funk and he's not hitting and you just laying into him because he's not swinging the bat or he stinks, I mean, you're asking for problems. But I think if you accentuate the good, and then after all the good is acknowledged and processed, and you say, hey, by the way, buddy, you know, I noticed this one play, you're playing shortstop. Maybe you could have gone to shoot, you know, go get the force here, or you weren't backing
up.
You have to do it.
Right.
Otherwise, it's a disservice to the kid.
And you could try
if
to
you
do
kiss it. The kids behind all the time and make them think they're great, when they get a real coach, they're not going to be able to deal with it.
Well, that's the problem. I'm sure he's got many people saying, hey, good job, or this or that.
He's one of the best kids on the team, right?
Well, I don't know even how to say that, but I love the way he plays. He's fast. He works hard generally. That's why, like, to me, it's not just about how many goals you score or assist. It's about how you play. I know by watching whether you're doing the right thing or not. And I also see you, if you're, like, dogging it, or not dogging it, but tired, whatever, pick it up. I need to see max effort.
Well, he doesn't sound like a Tom Thibodeau guy.
Yeah. But no, congrats to him. It was awesome. Fun. But it is something you're thinking about. Like, as a kid, I didn't want all the negative because I took that to heart and then I lose confidence.
Yep.
But I also think if you're a confident player, and he is, and he's really good, then you should also be aware of, hey, you could do this better.
You have to be able to.
Yeah. All right, last one here.
Good question. Yep.
You spend Mother's Day with the wife or the mother?
This year,
forget about spending it with. Who's Mother's Day about? The wife or the mother?
Yeah, it's funny, man. It's a tough one. Yeah, I mean,
this is a
really tough one. It's well, we're doing both. You know, we're going to dinner. We're going to Brooklyn Michael's, which is an awesome, or the best to me. It's the best restaurant in Brooklyn. Michael's is outstanding. We're going there over the weekend, so we're celebrating both. Listen, it's different, man.
It's about your mom, though, forever.
It's always about my mom.
Then you get married, you have a baby.
I think you have to. I try to go out of my way to make my wife feel more special. I think I do more stuff for her, and I think that I should. Like, my kids are still young. My son's 9, my daughter's 7. So, you know, when I go out and get them some stuff for mommy to wake up, you know, balloons, a little breakfast, a couple of things, and
glasses.
The Gucci sunglasses, you know, that she sent me. Talk about for the kids.
Right.
You do that because the mom with young kids needs to feel special. I think if you have the kind of relationship, and I don't see my mom as much as I want, I don't even really talk to her as much as I used to, because I'm so busy. But there was one person in this world that thought I could be on the radio. That was my mom.
Right.
My dad wasn't even sure.
Right.
And there's a closeness that when my dad was working late, when he was on the job, you know, working overnights, it was just me and my mom, you know, watching The Love Boat, watching Fantasy Island, watching Three's Company, reading with me. So she knows, and I know, and maybe I need to do a little bit better job as I'm getting older, kind of holding on to that a little bit more, honestly. But I think you've got to now gear it towards your wife, who's the mom.
It's a tough balance.
I'm not saying it's easy. That's why it took me 2 minutes to answer it. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm sweating here.
That's why I think it's a good question. It's
what about you?
I can't answer this. I just ask the questions here. I don't have to answer them.
Oh, this one you can answer.
I'm genuinely, like, what do we do? When do you transition? For me, truthfully, while I appreciate everything my wife does, and she's a great mother, and I'll acknowledge her and whatever on Mother's Day.
Very nice of you, Sal. But wow, like, what a concession.
It's Mother's Day. It's not wife's day. Yeah, it's Mother's Day. It's like my daughter, when she gets old enough, will make my wife feel special on Mother's Day. That's her mother. You got one mother. Well, she's still here. I got to acknowledge my mother.
Yeah, but
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
It's not a knock on the wife. It's like Brunson versus Shesterkin. They're not knocking the other.
Yeah, but somebody's playing a little bit better. All right, so what are you doing on Sunday? You going to spend time with both? Because you're not in Long Island anymore, what do you do?
Yeah, that's why I didn't want to make it about spend time, because, you know, that could be different each year or whatever. It's actually my wife's brother's birthday on Sunday, Mother's Day. So I'm going to go on Saturday out to the island.
Got it.
Spend the day.
By yourself?
And bring my daughter.
Oh, nice, nice.
Me and my daughter will go, give my wife, you know, I'm kind of giving her a day to herself. She'll hang out with her friends. Whatever. Yeah. That's a little bit of a Mother's Day thing, too. But I'll go out, spend the day with my mother, and then Sunday morning on Mother's Day, I'm going to come back and go to the party and be with my wife.
Oh, so you sleep over Saturday?
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't want to mess with traffic. I could go back Sunday night.
That's a good juggle, Sal. Say this, though. You know,
it's not a spot we like being in. I'll tell you that.
It's tough. It's without your wife, you're not a dad. Right. I know you said.
Yeah. But I love it. I'm saying on Father's Day, like, all right, whatever. I don't really care.
I don't make a big deal about Father's Day for me.
Of course not, right? Why do we not make a big deal? But, like, because, Mother's Day, it's like rocking a hard place.
I'll tell you
why. Hey, you know, I'm a mother of your child. Yeah, but my mother raised me, and you're right, believe.
Because we're guys. We do things different. Yeah. Not to say better. I'm not saying that.
Good luck to all those who
do the juggle. Happy Juggle Day, everybody. Happy It's Complicated Day, everybody.
Good luck with it.
Oh, my God. All right.
And by the way, the Knicks play, I think, at 3:30 on Mother's Day, right?
They do.
Game four? That makes it even harder. I remember one year, I was just dating.
Yeah.
But it was Rangers playoffs. I was living in the city.
Mm-hmm. Dating your wife?
No.
But
different girlfriend. We were going to the Rangers game. We went to Ranger game. It was the Marty St. Louis game. He had a big game on Mother's Day. We were there at the Garden. I took my girlfriend. My mother never forgave me, really. She's like, Mother's Day, you're not coming home? I'm like, Mom, I'm sorry. I'm dating.
I know we're kind of going. I think it was about 11 or so, and I came home from a doubleheader, and I didn't get my mom a Mother's Day card. And she said, not mad, more hurt. And I'm like, oh, boy, I can never. I can't.
Don't do that again.
You know, so... It is. Listen, it's hard. Yeah. And they all kind of come at you. Like, every holiday just sneaks up on you. It's brutal.
Tell me about it.
All right. 877-337-6666. BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll get back to the top story of the day. The Crown, Igor, and those Rangers next. A little Nick sprinkled in as well.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their Summer Splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.